My name is Patrick Mahomes, and you're listening to SB Nation Radio.
Now back to SB Nation Radio, coming to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios.
Good stuff, and good stuff going on this weekend, my friend, as we've got boxing going on HBO. Brooklyn-born Daniel Miracle Man Jacobs returns to HBO in the Barclays Center to headline World Championship Boxing in an explosive middleweight showdown against undefeated Meczek Suleski. Plus, Brooklyn's undefeated Jarrell Big Baby Miller faces former title challenger Johan Duhapas in a heavyweight clash. That's Saturday, live, April the 28th at 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific, only on HBO. Meczek Suleski.
I think we need to go back to the title. I think you've said that three different ways in 2 days.
No, that's it. I've got it phonetically here.
Okay.
I talked to Meczek personally.
Okay.
And he said, Meczek Suleski. I said, okay, I got you. Hey, it's not any harder than some of those names going on in the NBA now. We get those Euros coming in and playing.
76ers.
Yeah. Pelicans have a Nico Mirotic?
Yes.
You know, I know somebody who knows. He's on our Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans guest line. It's Tim Cato, covers the NBA for SB Nation, knows all things in the association, and he joins us now. Tim, man, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are y'all?
Good. Did you hear me just sort of sinking in that quicksand trying to read that promo there?
I mean,
so
you got
Tim,
Tim
tell me about
right.
this,
got
this
that part right.
First round of the NBA playoffs. It's already been dubbed the greatest first round in history. Your thoughts?
I wouldn't go that far. There's been some entertaining first rounds. You know, certainly the Pelican sweep of the Blazers was a particularly surprising result. Unfortunately, you know, a lot of what we're seeing in the first round is just unfortunate. A lot of injuries, and that's unfortunate that you know a lot of the stars are missing from what could be, you know, in many ways a more exciting first round series all around.
Well, let's start with the series that are over with. We saw a surprising Pelicans team sweep the Blazers, and now we see the Warriors dispatch the Spurs. So that sets up a pretty interesting conference semi in the West, New Orleans and Golden State. I like that series. That's going to be some high octane, no?
Yeah, no, I'm really into that. And I think that, just seeing the Warriors beat the Spurs in five, but they were kind of struggling with them last night, even kind of having a 10-point lead that they let slip away late, only for that to be, that they ended up closing it out. But the point is that I think the Warriors are, somewhat vulnerable without Steph Curry. You know, I think we've all known that for a while, but, they really do struggle to score outside of Kevin Durant and, Klay Thompson shooting, without having Steph in that lineup. So, I definitely think the Warriors will win, but I think if Steph is a back till game three or game four, there is an opportunity for the Pelicans to still win. In Oakland, and then maybe, split the home games as we come back and something like that. So this series could easily be 2-2, with a lot of fun offense and things happening. I definitely agree with you. This should be the premier series of the second round.
Now, another series that's over, unfortunately for us here in Miami, the Heat lose to the 76ers 4-1. Did it surprise you at all how well, I guess, the 76ers played, given that they hadn't been in that position before, from Ben Simmons to Embiid and then also the role players?
It's been very incredible what Philadelphia has been able to do, just their rise as a truly dominant team, and it's definitely impressive. I did not think the team would be here this soon. Kind of arriving with clearly they have the talent and the young players in place, but I think the mid-season addition, the players like Ersan Ilyasova and Marco Bellinelli, we've seen how big that was. I don't think they quite had the bench or the veteran presence to, make this run if they don't go out and get those players after the trade deadline and the buyout market. So, I think it's been a combination of things, and even then it's still been a little bit surprising, but this team is for real, and they're probably headed to the Eastern Conference Finals, if not beyond that.
That's what I was just going to ask you on rebuttal was, do you think it plays well for them when either Milwaukee or Boston, whoever wins there, they seem like they should be able to get through that series and advance to the Eastern Conference Finals?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the second round series has really, you know, fallen into their hands, you know, just in the right way, that they have either a good but very injured team who just isn't going to have the talent to keep up, or it's going to have the Bucks, which, you know, are dangerous when they're playing in the right way, but, you know, they don't do that often enough or frequently enough. So, you know, I would say that Philly is a heavy favorite against whoever comes out in the second round. And, you know, and at this point, you know, they have to get through that series, but, you know, it's easy to kind of almost start peeking ahead and seeing what would happen when they reach the Eastern Conference Finals, assuming they do.
Talking to Tim Cato, who covers the NBA for SB Nation. You can hit him up on Twitter at @Tim_Cato. Cavs and Pacers tonight. Critical swing game 5 in the land. Not at all surprising to me because, again, this is a 4-5 series, so there isn't much difference in theory between the Pacers and the Cavs. How have the first 4 games been to you? Are you surprised that we're 2-2?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. You know, it is a 4-5 series, and I think the Cavaliers are no better than a typical 4 team. And we've been giving them passes for a lot of the year because they have LeBron and because, you know, we've seen them over and over again kind of pick it up in the playoffs and you know, when they need to. But I don't think, you know, it's pretty clear at this point that this is not one of those teams, you know, without Kyrie Irving, without, you know, a lot, you know, the role players that are surrounding LeBron James are not, you know, quite who they used to be, you know, especially players like J.R. Smith and Tristan Thompson. You know, I think that, you know, it's clear that this team is about on the same level as Indiana. And in fact, I'd even say through 4 games that the Pacers have clearly outplayed them. You know, the Cavaliers are lucky that it's a 2-2 series. That said, you know, I think because, you know, the two teams are pretty similar, I think the tie should go to the LeBron James-led team. So I do think that Cleveland probably pulls this, you know, that they do pull the series out. But overall, you know, I think this is a, you know, quite a telling indictment into, you know, just how good the Cavaliers are, even with LeBron James leaving them.
Yeah, and the other 2-2 series were just tonight, which is more of a surprise. You got the number one seed Raptors kind of struggling with the Wizards and their 2-2 going into Game 5 tonight.
Yeah, and I think that's definitely another weird one where the Wizards are not a typical number 8 seed. You know, they have talent to be a few spots above that and just had injuries and other things kind of derailed them this season. But even beyond that, you know, I do think this is a fascinating series, and I'm surprised Toronto is it did get tied. You know, certainly it looked like they had game 4 in the bag and they let that one slip away. You know, so this does seem a little bit like a repeat of the typical Raptors. And, you know, I've been saying all year that this team is a little bit different, and I still believe that. But they have not been playing like they're any, you know, they haven't been playing like they did in the regular season, especially through these last 2 games against the Wizards. And I think that is a, you know, that is something worth watching because, you know, if Toronto isn't going to be the favorite and, you know, we just talked about Cleveland, then that comes back to a team like Philly. You know, maybe they really do have a chance to come out of the Eastern Conference.
Now, Tim, my game 5, I'm keeping an eye on Houston, Minnesota, Timberwolves. Is Houston, did they figure out they're the Rockets, the way they played the second half or at least the third quarter in game 4? Have they figured it out? Did they close it out tonight?
Yeah, I would imagine so. You know, that 50-point third quarter, like you referenced, did kind of seem like a, you know, just a you know, the dam bursting finally for that team. You know, they missed so many open shots. They had been getting, you know, I want to say something like 17 open three-pointers per game, and they'd been hitting them about 10% less than they usually do. And Minnesota's, you know, stats were kind of flipped in that manner. So I think there had been a bit of luck going on, you know, going against Houston. And I do generally think that, you know, that team has figured it out. I also think that they did a little bit more in the second half, just more, you know, more movement, more screening, more stuff. And it wasn't just James Harden dribbling up top and ultimately, you know, taking a jumper in some manner. You know, I think movement against Minnesota, especially a defensive team like Minnesota that is pretty undisciplined, I think the more you move against them, the more you make them, you know, try to navigate and figure out switches and stuff like that. You know, I think that's when you can really, you know, find a weakness and make them screw up. And, you know, I think that's what Houston did in the third quarter, and I would imagine they're going to keep doing that, and it should have a relatively easy time in game 5.
Now, the other one that's a bit of a surprise to me is Oklahoma City, Utah. Utah out to a 3-1 series lead. Now, if there's any team that could fall on their face in the first round are the Thunder, and if there's any team that can come back from down 3-1 are the Thunder. What do you make of them?
Yeah, obviously we had, you know, very high expectations for Oklahoma City coming into the year. I think everybody did. You know, Oklahoma City themselves had very high expectations for themselves, and you know they just haven't really lived up to it. And you know, clearly they have talent. You know, clearly they have Paul George and Russell Westbrook, who are, you know, arguably the two best players or two of the three best players in the series, along with you know, someone like Rudy Gobert. But they just haven't lived up to it by any means, and I think a lot of that does come back to Russell Westbrook in some ways. I know he's been a very polarizing, you know, hot button issue all, you know, the past couple of days. I've seen a lot of stories and thoughts about him, and I do think that he's a you know, he's a fascinating player, and you know, lived up to his reputation and really directed his energy in a positive manner last season, which led to the MVP. But it's like, you know he's going to step onto the court and have energy. You know, he's going to go, you know, 110%, as the cliche goes. But, you know, it's just a matter of him investing that energy in the right manner. And I feel like in every circumstances in this series, I'm not quite sure he's done that. It's just been, you know, overall a team impactful, you know, team helpful player at all times.
Now, Tim, the Spurs season came to an end last night. A lot's going to be made in the offseason. Kawhi Leonard, is he in San Antonio at the beginning of next season?
I would imagine so. You know, he can make the most money in San Antonio, so I think that's ultimately where he shows up or ends up or you know, does end up resigning there. But this is the weirdest, you know, story we've seen with the Spurs in quite some time, and it's really surprising to think that the Spurs are end up being the team that are afflicted by this weird just off-court controversy, which is just something they're so foreign to. So with that in mind, it's possible to say for sure, you know, exactly what's going to go down there. I would still imagine that Kawhi ends up there and everything works itself out, but, you know, it's impossible to say for sure.
Hey, Tim, before we let you go, this Commission on College Basketball gave its sort of its recommendations. Condoleezza Rice, the former Secretary of State, is the head of it. Part of it is they want to outlaw the one-and-dones. They want the NCAA to work more with the kids in the high school years as opposed to when they get to college. Cheating coaches should be suspended. How does this all – where does the NBA fall in all of this?
You know, the NBA has always seen, you know, the NCAA as a partner, and they've tried to respect that as much as they can. But at the same time, you know, I think there are systems and methods that would be more effective bringing youth players to the NBA. In fact, for the first time this season, we're going to see a prospect go through the G League rather than go through college and then enter the NBA draft. So I'm very interested to see how that plays out, and I do think there's a future where college basketball is much more marginalized in terms of bringing prospects to the NBA, and I think that might be a good thing overall just for the sport of basketball.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think they should be doing? I mean, can they outlaw one-and-dones? Can they make it, you know, kind of like the baseball rule where, you know, I think one of the smart things they're saying is, hey, a kid can come out, not hire an agent, and if he doesn't get drafted, he can go back to school. I think that makes a lot of sense. I mean, where do you stand in all this?
Yeah, no, I definitely think, you know, opening up those rules so players can enter the draft and then, you know, have more flexibility to dip out of it if necessary, just to make the best choices, you know, for them. You know, I also think that, like you said, you know, the baseball model has you know, been relatively effective for Major League Baseball. And now that, you know, just in that either you commit for a couple years to your university or you come straight out of high school, you know, I think that NBA teams have a lot more ability to develop young players with, you know, almost every team having a G League component or affiliate. And I think, you know, within a couple of years, we're going to have, you know, 30 G League teams for all 30 franchises. And I think that's going to be a big step in the right direction, just in the terms that NBA teams can develop, you know, develop talent and develop young players a lot more than they were able to in the past. So, I do think the league is headed towards that. And, you know, the most radical way would even be doing like a European soccer method where you have younger teams and camps that kind of come up even when players are 15 and 16 and in situations like that. So there's a lot of options, and I think there are several options that are better than the current one we have in the NBA.
No doubt about that. That's Tim Cato. You can follow him on Twitter at Tim_Cato. Cato covers the NBA for SB Nation. Thanks for hanging out with us, Tim.
For sure.
All right. Tim Cato brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. It's been a packed show. When we come back, tell you what we learned today It's the Sports Bosses on SB Nation Radio.